We move in our continuum of continuing. Our dissertation, and each day as things evolve, it becomes so necessary for us to see the light of eternality as it overrides and overrules those incidental things and testimony and manifestation. Amen. That God has brought and placed on the agenda for His glory. Yes. Yes. I, God, take your document, your pamphlet, a booklet, Scripture Comprehensions and Measures. Everybody repeat after me. Again, Scripture Comprehensions and Measures, the matrix. And again, for those that are watching on the webcast, the document is available on the link there. And you go in to the audio webcast sector. It's an icon there. You link it, and this document comes up in its entirety. We'll move to page 14, and we're going, oh my God, we're many times we actually page 15. We're grateful to God in giving us explication and understanding. When we go into the grace contract, that is, when we go into the instructions and directives to the church, we are fully apprised of what's going on. Oh, not in detail, but the overview. As we move in trust and confidence, what God has designed, we are fully aware of all things that manifests are there for purpose, for eternal purpose. Everything is about God's eternal intentions, what He's doing. To really enjoy life, we have to take the focus off of what we're doing and place it on what God has already done. Amen. See the actualized, complete, and finish, and that is already in place, has been in place from eternity, already completed, everything already done. Amen. And that way we're not going along each day worrying about and wondering about what's happening or what's going to happen. Amen. God has already laid out everything. Not some things, everything. Amen. And everything that He has done it well. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Today, let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Oh, the little woman is our designated reader. As an ingression of bringing into, as a background, without you turning to it, I'm going to just make mention of what we were dealing with last week in 1 Corinthians 3:18. Remember, no one must deceive himself if anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must, having become foolish, that he may be having been wise. Sound like double talk in our thinking. Amen. Here again, the Greek verb here as dealt with here, Zapatato. Zapatato is rendered deceive. It is in the aorist tense and imperative mood. Here's the noting that it is crucial not to be deluded through blighted opinions. Amen. So this verse is directing that we, the enlightened, must not think that humanly comprehensive measures amounts to what is wise in this age. Amen. There's a Greek verb in that verse also, thoki. It renders think. It conveys one who imagines, presumes, and esteems oneself to be wise according to worldly wisdom. The Greek phrase in there, into elni, is rendered in this age. In this age, what's going on? You look around us, and we depend upon this to give us heads up as to what's happening. Amen. And so we're walking by sight. Even though the scriptures are telling us, don't walk by sight. Amen. But we are influenced more and affected more by what we see than what God has said. Amen. Even though many times there is a conflict there, it seems as though the word of God set on the back burner and we began to focus on what we think and what, you know, certain type of Bible classes I just refuse to be a part of. When you're sitting there and you just go, well, what do you think? What? No. This, we're not here for opinions. My opinion is worthless if it doesn't. What does the scripture teach? Rightly divided and exegeted. That's what our focus is going to be on. In fact, we're here to dispel opinions. My Lord, hallelujah. We not those who move on the basis of what the human resonation does to our senses, but our focus and our priority and I trust is in the living God and what he has already done. So it's not about the temporary things that are seen. It's about the eternal things that are unseen, but yet they are seen. They are seen through the eyes of faith. They are unseen through our natural comprehension. So in this age refers particular to the philosophical, mythological, and religious wisdom that is regulated or codified by how things are looked at when we visualize them and assess them on the basis of our visualizations. So in this, the anon phrase, that is the immediate thing that comes to mind, and first, how one can be rescued, follow me here, from the clutches of physical secular measures. Here we have the Greek expression moros yanitho, which is rendered, he must, having become foolish. Sounds like double talk, doesn't it? No, it's not. You have been numb to the courses of this world, but that is something that God previously placed in your heart, in your comprehension, to know that what you see isn't it. Amen. And this is as your cause to be mentally deficient according to such illusionary. Amen. Few folk gonna think that you're crazy. Don't worry about that. Would you rather be right, or would you be rather thought of as being crazy? Somebody said, well, when I walked by, well, I want to say, ooh, there he goes, there he is. No, don't worry about that. Let's go with the scriptures. What they teach. So as we thoroughly respite a materialized oblivions, as such contrastingly protracts what is converse. That is, we look at the wisdom of God, which transcends the matrix and the measures, knows things construing with life expectancies exhibit. That's a problem. We're looking for some things that are not there. You're not going to find satisfaction in the matrix. You're not going to find inner peace in the matrix. Joy in the matrix. These things are not there because actually nothing is in the matrix. It's all testimony. It's like looking at the most picture frames. Each frame there is a still. Even though when you run them in succession, it looks like motion. Each one is an increment of testimony. What was that term you used last week, Elder Liberman, in Sunday school? Incremental.
Testimonial depictions.
Everybody say incremental.
Testimonial.
Depictions. And if you don't copyright that, we're going to use it. But each frame is there. There are trillions of them. And in that frame is just a testimony enactment that is mirrored from that which really resides. And the only thing that really resides is in the decree. God said it, and it existed, and it has existed from eternity. Our conscious movement through the frames on a certain day at a certain time, your conscious come into a frame, and you think that something has just cropped up. No, it's been there. It was there all the time. Oh, my God, help us to understand this. And that God has it there for purpose. Everybody said purpose. So the essence of existence exudes what abides above the radar of physicality's secularity's fragile bubble. Amen. So the eternal comprehensions, everybody say eternal comprehensions. They exude the actualized chronicling of abiding existence. Such scripture conceptions are solely reliant on God's purpose in having capacitated certain ones in enlightenment. Such understanding and inspiration engage narratives bestowing eternal hope in consideration of spiritually unseen actualities. Everybody says
spiritually
unseen actualities. It's there. If I don't see it, that doesn't mean a thing. Our Lord. Contrastingly, these observations in materialized settings are the exclusively dependable mode for determining whatever necessarily ensures that which triumphs over and sets free from subjugations. What are we saying here? Amen. We think that we are subject to those things that are in the matrix. No, you're not. What is set there in procedure does have your role in the functioning of that procedure. But if the procedure doesn't control the action, then the procedure cannot control you. It is the purpose that controls. So we are in subjugation to the purpose of God in eternity. eternality and not to the procedures and time.
Come on.
Said, Pastor B, no. Follow this now. What's going on out there? What's happening? And something is happening in each of our worlds, our situations, our life. Things are happening. And we're not subjugated. They basically taught us that we're sitting here vulnerable and at the mercy of the devil. The devil. Who wants to be at the mercy of the devil? I don't. Amen. You know, the devil is raging. This. We just have to pray that God will hold him down because he's out of control. Do you know what you said when you said the devil is out of control? Huh? No, the devil is doing exactly what his assignment is.
Exactly.
In the process. All things go to the glory of God.
Yes.
So you are not in subjection. You're not under control of anything except the will and purpose of God. And that's a good thing to be under control of. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Remember that, because some things out there have happened in relationship to manifestations, and they're going to happen week to week. There is nothing that gives us indication of what's on the matrix. We call it tomorrow. That's all just true if you really, really understand. I don't know about tomorrow. And in a sense, I do. But even more importantly, I know who holds tomorrow. I know who has designed tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. I know, my God, y'all, listen this morning. I know who holds my hand. In the sense that in eternity, he placed me in the body of Christ. Some songs we sing, I think we're just singing based upon whatever our situations are. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. We're talking about from eternity. Doesn't mean that you exempt from anything that could happen out there. But it means that there is no everlasting effect of anything that happens out there.
Bottom line.
Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you miss something, if you lose something, you haven't lost anything. The only thing that I cannot do without is Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus.
And it's impossible. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the love is in Christ Jesus and you're in Christ Jesus, no separation.
Thank you, Jesus.
No separation. And if you don't know this, then you're a candidate for the roller coaster ride that living moment by moment, day by day, in the matrix will assign you to. Now, cosmic views, remember now we have eternal viewing, we have cosmic or matrix viewing, and that's just how we view things in the world. Cosmic viewings. They perpetrate the sketch potential inhumanly inspired notions which exhibit those who set their face like flint for accomplishing what is absolutely necessary, complementarily availing the novel centuries, those things that God, that we feel has put in place for our security, associated with the normality of religious philosophies and morals. These comprise initiatives as diverse as art and science and society, as well as politics, economics, and family, and these things are good in the process, but we're never dependent upon any of these things. Understand that. God allow us, cause us, I should say, to internalize these things, that our lives are entrenched solely in Him. Our joy is based solely on Him. Our security is completely about Him and nothing else. You know why everything is so vulnerable in the matrix, in expressions? Because nothing is really there. All things are in eternality, actualized in God's decree. And the bottom line is, you've got more going for you than could ever be brought against you. And we must understand this. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, long preamble. Chapter 5. For time's sake, let's start at verse 11 through 13, and of course, as we deal with the context there, you know how chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians starts out. It's basically focus on an eternality and telling you that life is not about what's happening here. And giving some illuminative information that these earthly bodies are already destroyed. But that doesn't constitute who we are. We have what? A building of God. Not physical. In other words, the physical by decree is already destroyed, but the physical was never you. The real you, the you, is you in the body of Christ. Not you temporarily in these bodies. You temporarily in these bodies is a component of manifestations for the purpose of testimony. So who you are in Christ defines who you are. And so he speaks about the tabernacle groaning, being burdened, that we would be clothed upon, mortality would be passed away. That is our hope. He's speaking of our hope, because there's only one hope. Your hope is an eternal hope. The only hope there is eternity. There is no hope for time. I'm not saying don't get together and try to do this, that, and other, be part of this, and so forth, of the process, so forth and on. But as we look at prophecy, the end of things are already in God's decree. Essence of time has already passed. What we are doing and what we are involved in is already terminated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes when we preach that, and preachers, ministers are kind of shy about this because they don't want to seem like they're cold and callous. So, well, you're saying that what we're doing now is not important. In the procedure, in the process, yeah, as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, and things that we are involved in daily, yeah, it's ultra but it's important, but it's restricted in the process.
Yes.
So that when things come along and interrupt what is going on, you know, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost my loved one, we don't think all is lost.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No. God has just moved you into another frame that has another phrase for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what is happening that we don't understand as it relates to the frames. God has previously placed different people in different places, that is in the matrix, for different purposes.
Yes, sir.
Repeat this. Previously placed
place.
People,
people,
places,
places,
for purpose. So that our trust and our aim and our aspiration is not ultimately what's there. Because nothing that's there is survivable.
Nothing.
And the great scriptures are replete with this information. And if it's there, I'm going to preach it. And so we hope nobody thinks that we're cold and careless and we're saying that we don't care about what's going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But the key word there is priority.
Priority.
Everybody said priority.
Priority.
What is ultimately? What is ultimate is that which is eternal.
Yes.
That which is survivable. We have nothing and no one that is not on loan to us. We are loaned to one another. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
Your house is on loan to you. Your jewelry is on loan to you.
That's right.
Yes. Come on,
Pastor. Everything is on loan to you.
Everything.
What's the characteristic of a loan?
You got to give it back.
Sooner or later, you got to return it. The breath you breathe, it's on loan to you.
I hear you.
So who you are, in essence, is not that which is on loan.
That's right.
In the same passage here, we won't get to it. Paul speaks this, in a man in Christ, he is a what?
New creation.
Will be. What is he talking about? My hands are new, my feet do, you know, I've been down in the water. No. What is he talking about? Who you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. We must look at this life in true eternal perspective. If you do not look at this life in eternal perspective, and I say this in love, if you do not look at this life in eternal perspective, you're going to be the most frustrated and confused individual you ever want to look at.
Amen.
You're not going to be happy dependent upon the things of this life for your happiness. Now, there's some things that we can enjoy, absolutely. But that is all temporary. And that's not a cold thing. That is a realistic thing. And then when God comes along and he takes some of us away from each other, we don't think that all is lost. Worst thing that can happen to me is not to be taken out of the matrix. Worst thing that can happen to me can happen. And that is to be separated from God. And so in this passage, as he brings this down into the essence, it's all about how we see things, how we assess things. This is what he gets to in this.
Yes.
And he goes to the essence of eternality and saying that all will stand before the Bema. So he's focusing there. And it's from that that you see everything else. Everything begins with salvation. What you believe and understand about salvation is what you're going to take down into life. If you're shaky about salvation, you're automatically shaky about life.
That's it.
Let's start reading in the 11th verse there.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the 11th verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
Let's go to the Greek there right quick. I don't want it to linger too long. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, therefore, the fear of the
Lord is the reverence of the Lord. You don't have to go around here fearing the Lord.
That's it.
Put that to rest right away.
Yeah.
If you just must fear losing your job, or whatever, you don't have to do that. But if you got, but when it comes to God, you know, actually, most of us don't trust God.
That's it.
And it starts with salvation. A doctrine that teaches that God is on the sideline, oblivious, and a non-participator in your salvation sets you up for thinking that he is a non-participant in your life. If you understand and have full confidence and what he has done for you eternally and where you are, we don't have to question his love. What more testimony, proof of love of him having placed you in the body of Christ before creation?
Glory to God.
And now I'm going to get down in the time and wonder about him. Oh, Saint Stone, you can't make me doubt of mine. Know too much about him. I shouldn't say what they were thinking, but if that is based upon, well, I see what he has taken me through in this particular problem, that situation, and so forth and so on, that's a limit to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because one time he may take you through one way, and next time take you through another. And the way he takes you might cause you to think he has abandoned you.
Yeah.
But if your focus of saying you can't make me doubt him is on the eternal essence of what he's already accomplished, nothing in time can change that.
Right.
What's that you're saying? This one and the other? Can anything in life change justification,
no.
Propitiation, imputation? Some people say, I don't know what you're talking about. Really, get with it then. These are the trusting aspects of God.
Yes.
To know what he's already done.
Yes, Lord.
And if I'm broke and he doesn't, quote, come to my rescue in the matrix and give me some money, amen, that has nothing to do with the fact, amen, that I'm rich in the essence of knowing what he has already done. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ far trump anything on this world that may be seen to be riches. Don't assess God based upon what you see, what your daily situations are. He's more than that.
Amen.
You're assessing God based upon what you're seeing in the matrix.
Amen.
When in essence, nothing is in the matrix but testimony. You're looking at the movie frame. And I'm using an analogy there. You look at the frame and things are happening there, and that's what you think. This no, no. Another song that Saint used to sing, look and live, look and live. It's recorded in his word. Look and live, what? Look to the word of God. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Christ is the total essence of your life. Don't get caught up in things. Read. But what?
Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, men, we persuade.
Mm-hmm.
And to God, we have been made manifest, and I hope also in the consciences of you to have been made manifest.
Oh, I'm so happy. Those Aristotles were hitting him in the face, and he didn't run from them that time. You see him like double talk. No. This makes perfect sense when you're looking at time from the vantage point of eternity.
That's it.
Your life is not about your job.
No.
Where you live.
No.
These are testimonial procedures.
Amen.
And processes.
Amen.
But the ultimate end is that everything is in Christ. This is what this is saying. So where is your conscience? Your conscience is going to be captivated in the things you see and in what God has said. Because the things that we see, they are constantly what? They're changing. One thing today, the next thing tomorrow. None of us sitting here know what is ahead in a frame on the matrix as we sit here. And so we're going to thank God not only for this day, but we're going to thank God eternally.
There you go. Yes.
What is this that David said? There have been Psalms, and of course I can go back and corroborate. His praise shall be what?
Continuous.
In my mouth. Continuous praise. God's good all the time.
Yes.
If I'm sick, if I get a diagnosis from the doctor and he's saying you're out of here, and if you think somebody was telling me this week about this man was having trouble with balance, he went to the doctor and there was found a mass in his head, and they went in and said, well, we'll move the mass, got in there and found out that nothing could be done. Doctor said, you got months to live. Didn't know anything was wrong with him. Now, that's in the procedure, that's in the process, and you know, but doesn't really mean that that's it. That's in the process. And the only way that will come to manifestation is if it's, if the process, amen, aligns with the purpose. The purpose controls the process, not the process controls the purpose. If that's what God has decreed, it must happen. If God hasn't decreed it, forget about the process, it can happen. How many times have doctors been mystified? So, well, I don't know what it is. We walk by what? Not by what? Whatever it is, it is. Then Mother Goodlow said, why should I be laying here worried about something that's already happened? Do you trust God? Do you really trust God? Do you trust God to the end of time, to the end of this earth? Do you trust Him to the end of your life? Do you trust Him beyond this life? Do you trust Him? Here's what Paul was confronted with. All right, let's move on that clock, y'all. I'm going to run over a little bit this morning. Remember now, I was late and I got up. All right. Verse 12.
Not again ourselves we commend to you, but an occasion given to you.
Oh, wait a minute. Read the King James first. That'll throw some folk off.
2 Corinthians chapter again 5, verse 12, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion, mm-hmm. to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart.
Not in heart. Now here, what is Paul saying there? Oh my God. One of these days y'all let me have a couple hours. Follow this closely. Oh my God. Yeah, let's go to the Greek. Oh my.
Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 12th verse in the Italian Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Not again ourselves.
Not about us.
We commend to you, but an occasion given to you.
Given to you.
Of a boast.
Of a boast, what?
On behalf of us.
On behalf of the testimony of what God has done with us. For what reason?
In order that ye may have, in reference to the in face boasting, and not in heart.
And not in heart. Let's go to the end of that verse there, but we understand. Paul said this stuff is not happening so that we'll be supermen or super saints. Because sometimes things didn't come out the way we had prayed. And God is good when it does, and God is good when it doesn't. Let's go to the end of the verse. You see that where it says, in reference to, for the in face boasting and not in heart. Here's what he's saying, and we'll clear it up in verse 13. See that Greek word there? Prosopo. Mark that up. It's the same word that Paul uses another part, Corinthians, when he speaks about face to face. Our appearance. Except in that verse is prosopos, pros prosopos, face to face. That means you take the appearance to appearance, and so he's speaking completely in eternality. Here, he is speaking about the eternal view. The eternal view. Yet, how the eternal view is in relationship to time. So here it reads, in the face boasting and not in heart. What's he talking about, not in heart? There are two spheres. Follow me here. There's the eternal sphere. There's eternality and there's time. There's spirituality. And there's physicality. Follow this closely now. Because what we do is we mix it up, and many things we call spiritual are physical. But when you get into true spirituality, you're into eternality. You're into actualized entities, or actualized things of how they exist. Yes. You're into the purpose end of the process. Now, what may come to your mind or your heart may be gleaned or drawn from the process. That's not the boasting end. The boasting end is the eternal end, a purposed end. And this is what Paul is saying. Not in the way this thing may seem to be, but the way it is, it is in the essence of how God has already decreed it. Let's go to verse 13. I probably have to come back to this. Amen.
King James.
Yeah, King James and then the Greek. Everybody with me. Follow me here. Follow closely. Oh, no, we're not going to sit here and talk about the politics today and quote things people can quote, relate to. No. They get with it. This is the essence. This is what he's saying.
Amen.
That what's in your heart and mind is not drawn from resonating with physicality.
Right. That's it. Amen.
But in the reliance of what abides in spirituality.
Right.
Not what you draw out of time,
no.
But what you have internalized in eternity.
Yeah.
Read that.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, King James Version,
mm-hmm.
verse. For whether we be beside ourselves.
Go ahead. I'll get that. Go ahead.
For whether we be beside ourselves,
mm-hmm.
it is to God.
Yeah, see that? You see that italicized there? And even what they didn't italicize there is not correct. That too. We'll deal with that in a second. Read.
Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause.
And that's not exactly what Paul said. There's a connotation there. Let's go to the Greek. Follow me closely now. Follow me.
Verse 13 in ancient Greek.
Uh-huh.
For whether we are mad.
Did he say, are there? Oh, my God. Brother Deacon, what is that? That's not what he said. Whether we were amazed. Whether we were surprised. Or whether we were looking at something and seeing something different from what they saw, the ones that saw it in heart, from the ones that saw it in eternal appearance. Are you all following what we're saying here? He's talking about how a thing is perceived.
Read. For whether we are mad to God or we are in our senses for you.
See, it's just the reverse of here. When he's talking about being amazed, he's talking about the eternal viewing. When he's talking about the sensical, he's talking about in relationship to those in the heart of what seems to make sense. Except, again, we're going to exegete this. You see that two words there, Pharaoh and Emin. They have translated to God and for you. Mm-hmm. Brother Deacon, that word Pharaoh, it is what? It's in the what? Give me the case there. Nope. That's the dative case. Emin is what? Also what? Dative. Right? Yeah, dative. So that means it's either locative or instrumental, because here you're dealing with the indirect object. So that could either be in God or by God, in you or by you, but not to you. So if we use the locative case and we say in, he's saying that that which is, we were amazed, that which caused us to be amazed was in God. That which we saw that looked so troubling but gave us confidence was in God. Or by God. That would seem to make sense. That would be in you or in us. So is it in hard or is it in the appearance of those things that are eternal? This is what he's saying. Give me about 5 minutes here. Let's go to the top of page 16. We probably have to come back to this. Amen. I see some puzzled looks there. Oh, my God. Huh? How do things look? You don't define things by how they look. You define things by how God has purposed them. This is what Paul basically was saying. And this is why he could use that litany. Cast down but not destroyed. I look at something and it should wipe me out.
Yeah, that's it.
I lost my job. But I see joy in it. That's the eternal view. Follow this. Reflections of appearances. You see that?
Yeah.
Reflection of appearances and physical secular measures, the matrix. Everybody got that? Say amen. The grace scriptures. Everybody say the grace scriptures. Comprehensibly convey inconsistent variations incumbent in the physical secular measures. What we're saying there is that the scriptures are telling us that things are unstable in the matrix and not to be relied upon. That's what we're saying there. The scriptures are telling us that. We're slow learners, but that's the truth. There is joy, but your joy is in the Lord. Your joy is in eternal things. There's peace, there's stability, but it's in the Lord. Not in the things that are around you. I just finished up this one paragraph here today. Oh my God. The comprehensive fragments in this facade of deliberations, specifically confined its terrain to tracings and insignificant responsiveness, actualized entities. What are we saying here? These fragments and things, things that not are coming together, they're insignificant responses to what is actually actualized. And so we must draw our expectations out of what God has ultimately done for us. Rather than our expectations from the fragments of things that are in the matrix. In this orb, reliable alertness. Everybody say reliable alertness. Does not exalt the intelligentsias of eyes that see and ears that hear and behold in what telepathically abides in its gauges. Intuitively, what is alleged in most situations, listen, is not in close proximity of what exactness manifestly extracts. That thing is not even close to what it seems to be. Prophetically, the majority of physical perceptions are inert captives, submerged in the sea of many immaterialities. In this format, such are incapacitated to achieve unbounded transcendent powers of ascension, oh my God, to the high realm of actuality. Minute significations of millions of lingering depictions merely reload as motions lining at points of dramas. I'll be back to this next week. Observe in their matrix consignments. Everybody said matrix consignments. That's those things that are there, that are placed there behind them. Many times is the real meaning. You see something in doesn't make sense because what you see is not the realness of what's there. Mm-hmm. What you see is a facade. And the exactness and the realness is behind that. This is where trust and confidence, we walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Sight. Not by sight. Not by what you see. What you see can ruin your day and your week. What you see can cause you to give up hope. What you see can blind you and make you oblivious to your eternal blessing. Because the witness there are versions of entrance into human vigilantes of pseudo-wheel parables. What we talked about here, you know what a vigilante is. That's an outlaw. That's a person who's actually think he's doing good, but he's breaking the law, right? And so when we moved into false wheel parables, we'll get into that next week. This is why stay in your gospel.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people go to the parables and interpret things. And a lot of people, they don't even go into the parables. They don't even go to the book. They go into dreams and suppositions to interpret things as to why God would do this, that, and others. We were reading this morning in the pastor's pen. Death is one of the hardest things for us to reconcile and deal with. Our prayers, as we said, is to the living rooms and the loss of their grandson, a little baby. And that's confusing to many. And some can't deal with it. Some people are never any more good once something like that happens to them. They're no more good for life. I think of in my family, my mother had 10 children. 8 lived, 2 died. First baby my mother had was a boy. It was named after my father, William. He lived just a few days. back in the country at that time, as the process would have it, there were no hospitals, and jaundice could be a death sentence in the process. And my grandmother, my father's mother, who everybody looked to be the village doctor, she did all the home remedies, and after a few days, William Jr. departed this life. A few years ago, when we went to a family reunion, went back to the old family graveyard, it's hardly there anymore, was able to see a little tombstone, William Cutler. Now, what's the difference between him and me standing here at 68 and my brother Wallace at 70? Purpose. I had asthma as a child. I almost died. I have asthma now. One time I feel like I'm going to die. What purpose? Purpose. In God's purpose, He previously placed people in places for purpose. So some may live 90 years. Some may live only 90 minutes. What's the difference between the two? Purpose. Purpose. I look at Deacon Pritchard. I don't think he might meet the testimony. In the foxhole in Vietnam, he and his partner traded guns. And rightfully so, by rank, Brother Charlie should have been carrying that pistol. And the snipers, they always try to pick off the leaders.
Right.
So they identify the leaders by the weapon they carry. And his partner insisted that he trade. So he traded with him, and sniper took him out. What was the difference? That was the only difference. Purpose. So let us continue to trust God.
That's right.
And look to Him in relationship to what things really are versus the way they may seem to be. There is difference. So we walk by faith and not by sight, and we view even things in time from eternity. And we walk around and say, woulda, shoulda, coulda, if I hadn't done this, that wouldn't have happened. Throw all that out the window. Everything that happened was what? It was purpose, decreed. Every soul is assigned its venue in the matrix. Your arrival and your departure. Not for you, for Him. In the scripture, no one of his own has a purpose for living. No one of his own has a purpose for dying. So whether you live, it is for the purpose of God. And whether you die, it is the purpose of God. And it doesn't mean that God loves one and doesn't love the other. So whether he died before his time, that is impossible.
I hear you. That's it. I hear you.
There are some that will not even breathe 1 minute of air in the matrix.
That's true. Amen.
They call it abortion, either through miscarriage. My mother's other child she lost was through miscarriage. What's the difference? What God has a sign. Our sickness, it is a sign. Our trials, they are a sign. Whatever we are involved in, it is a sign for purpose. And when we understand this, my time is gone, I'll come back next week. We can sing the song with understanding. My hope is built on nothing else but Jesus, blood, and righteousness.
That's right.
I dare not trust anything in that frame, no matter how alluring it may be, how confident it may seem.
I
dare not trust the sweetest frame.
That's right.
But holy, can you say holy? Can you say completely? Lean on Jesus' name. On Christ. Can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? Can you say completely on Christ? The sweet rock I stand. Why? All on the ground. Sink his sand. We have to take it up next week. Our time is gone. God bless you.
Come on, get along now. Get along in hand. Hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, thank God for the gospel of the grace of God.